Go to Exodus chapter 2. How many in this room, let me see a show of hands, have a pet name? Come on, have a pet name. You know, maybe your husband or your spouse has given you a pet name. Not your pet's name, but you have a pet name. Okay, four of you, the rest of you going, I'm not sure I want to tell anybody what my spouse calls me. But you know, darling or baby, how many pookies are in the room? Or sugar, or the affection-filled, hey you. What's in a name? We all like to hear our own name warmly spoken, of course. It's paramount in sales work to learn the names of your clients and customers quickly. Teachers work fastidiously on learning the names of their students. I don't know if you have this experience. I remember in junior high for the first time hearing a teacher call me Mr. Hunter for the first time. I thought, wow, my dad behind me? Mr. Hunter, listen to that. And of course, maybe like you, there were several times I heard it not so affectionately spoken. Mr. Hunter! But we long for personal connections, and our name is part of it. Who doesn't hate getting caught up in a phone system where what you really want is a live body to talk to? Somebody with whom to connect. I don't want to just hold for more things in the phone system. I don't want that. I want someone with whom I can connect. Somebody who's willing to know you and your needs and help you solve your problems. How many in this room are grateful that God connects with you and knows you deeply and intimately? There's nothing more intimate than the fact Jesus personally created you with a personal set of gifts, with a purpose, and with a plan. You are no accident, but you are planned by God. Listen to the scriptures, and I do have them. If you need a Bible, there are those in the back of the room, or we put them up on the overhead here as well. And Luke chapter 12, verse 7, I'm reading mostly from the New King James. I'll use some of the message this morning. But the very hairs of your head are all what? Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. In 1 John 4:19, please say it out loud with me. We love Him because He first loved us. You're aware that religions all around the world don't have a personal God to worship. Only Jesus. Only Christianity has a personal God that you can know, that you can worship, that you can adore. All around the world, there are lots of religions where there's no personal God. There's maybe an idol, or there's a statue, or there's a demonic spirit, or there's some God with a little g demanding that you do enough good works or penance. Or maybe you have to prove yourself good enough or worthy. Or perhaps the god of the land is the despot who leads the land, who's the head of state to whom you must swear your allegiance or be killed. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not like that at all? Our God builds the bridge to us. I said, God builds the bridge to us. And as we take a look at Exodus this morning, literally one of the most fantastic revelations of all time, of all of the scriptures and of all eternity, takes place as God reveals who He is and how He relates to us. And you know, the Bible is a beautiful picture and a story of redemption from beginning to end. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look in a little bit on Moses and see what we can learn. The question this morning is, what's in a name? You remember the calling of Moses, Exodus chapters 1 and 2, and we have the Israelites who continue to grow in the land of Egypt, and the population mushrooms, and so the Egyptians become terrified of these people. They are strong, the Israelites are blessed of God, and pretty soon they begin to fear that the Israelites are going to take over the land. So they move to put the Israelites in slavery. They take the Hebrews and make them make bricks with straw that they provide, but it's just a terrible life that they have them in. Remember, Pharaoh comes on the scene and he demands that the Hebrew midwives slay or kill the male children while allowing the females to live. But how many remember the scripture says, but the midwives feared God and had respect to God, and they killed no babies. So we have Moses being born, and after a few months, because there was really an onslaught to kill the male children. So after a few months, can you imagine mothers taking your infant baby, wrapping him up, and putting him in a little basket or a little ark, and setting him out on the Nile River? Can you imagine doing that to your own children? Can you imagine? I can't. But that's how tough it was. And they had the inspectors out making sure there were no male children in those Hebrew homes. But Moses, a little baby boy, is discovered. And he's pulled out of the water by Pharaoh's daughter. His name literally means pulled out, drawing out, or rescued. And his sister has been watching all of this unfold. And she runs up to Pharaoh's daughter and she says, "Would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse this infant child?" And she says, yes, and of course she goes to get Moses' mother. Look at what God does, how good God is in this situation. And then as he grows, clearly Moses must have known that he was a Hebrew. Because then later he defends a Hebrew who's being attacked or argued with by an Egyptian. And so Moses slays the Egyptian, buries him in the sand. The next day he comes back and finds two Hebrews arguing among themselves. So Moses steps in to try to solve their problem. He was a leader even then, just was kind of an awkward one at this point. And so he tries to step in and they look at him and they say, "What, are you going to kill one of us too?" And so Moses knows everybody is aware of this situation. And Pharaoh begins to look at Moses or for Moses to kill him. So Moses goes on the run. And he ends up with the priest of Midian. What was his name? How many remember? Jethro, yep, ends up with the priest of Midian, who then gives him his daughter, Zipporah, to be his wife. And Moses marries her and works there. Then we come along to Exodus chapter 3 and 4. So I've just kind of carried you through two chapters. In Exodus 3 or 4, we see that God gives a call to Moses. And he calls him out of the burning bush. And he says, "I want you to go and deliver the children of Israel from slavery and bondage." And let's look especially at Exodus 3, verses 4 and 6. God assures Moses he will be with him. And then God reveals who he is. Watch these scriptures. Absolutely powerful. And I'm going to go to Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Drop your finger down if you're following along in your Bibles. Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, say it with me, please, "I am who I am." Say it with me one more time. "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name,'" how long?
Forever.
"This is my memorial to all generations." Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3. "And God spoke to Moses and said to him," say it with me, please, "I am the Lord. I appeared," watch this, "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them." The I am. I am. It's new. This is new. This is not now just a God of history, not just the God of the past, not just the God who protected the patriarchs. He's not just the God of the future who's going to provide for their provision in their promised land. No, he's the God of the right now. Look at each other and say, he's God of the right now. He's the I am. He's the I am. Say it again. The I am. He'd never revealed himself this way. He's never revealed himself in the same way to any of the patriarchs or people who had gone on before. He is now so present with you and with me, now forevermore. This is how he wants to be known for all time and eternity. In memoriam, he says, "The God I am." Look at the heart of this God. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. I'm going back and forth a little bit. Exodus chapter 2, 23 through 25. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, just kind of like Cease just did, that heavy sigh. They groaned. Actually, it was a lot more than that. And they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Watch 4 points now. So God heard their groaning, number one. God, number two, remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Number three, God looked upon the children of Israel. And number four, God acknowledged them. Number one, God heard their groaning. The Bible literally means this groaning is a horrific thing. And in the Hebrew, the word is pregnant with meaning, and it means they are shrieking out to God. Have you ever had problems and pain in your life where usually you're by yourself when you start yelling, and if you're not by yourself, the people who you're with usually get out of your way at those kinds of times? Have you ever really yelled out to God? I remember being in college and grabbing my pillow and shouting into my pillow, God, I need you! And it wasn't just in college, it's been a lot of time through my life where I've cried out, shrieked out to God, I need you and I need you now! Give me patience! But there's a crying out. This is a bad scene. And the Bible says God heard them, literally meaning He paid attention to them. When Job was in such bad shape that he complained that God didn't pay attention to him, he wanted God to come so he could face to face with him. And he wanted God's ears so he could complain in his ear. And he wanted God to know, I'm hurting, God. I need you. So they shriek out, and God says, I hear you. Look at each other and say, God hears you. Secondly, God remembers His covenant. That word remembers in the Hebrew means God marks it. He marked it. He marked the covenant. He called the covenant to mind. And He took special note that these are my people. They're in covenant relationship with me. How many understand God never forgets you? Sometimes we think He does. Sometimes it doesn't seem like He's on the scene. But God never forgets you. So the Bible says, I want you to know that when you call out to me, I remember you. I hear you. And I remember you. Third, God looks on them. What does that mean? There's lots of meaning, again, in the Hebrew here. It means He sizes up their situation. Of course, He's already seeing them, but He's looking on them far deeper, and He sizes up their situation, and He understands it for what it is. God sees, God looks on you. He's already sized up your situation. How many in this room need God this morning in some area of your life? God has sized up your situation when you call out to Him. And then it says He acknowledges them, literally meaning He has respect unto them. God recognized them. His heart takes care to understand them, and their need moves the heart of God. Now there's a four-part action. Just a couple of verses later, we see five more points. God is overwhelmingly, within a few verses, trying to tell these people something about who He is. Remember, they've been hundreds of years in Egypt. They've been in bondage. They've been in slavery. They've been mistreated. They've been abused. They're crying and shrieking out to God. And in a few short verses, God not only calls Moses, but He says, here's my character. Here's my heart. Here's what I want you to know about me. I am, right now, present, active. I see, I hear, I remember. Let's go on. Exodus 3, verses 7 through 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. How many know God is a God of action toward you? Come on, do you know God's a God of action toward you? But how many also understand it took a little while for this action to be seen or felt right in their present situation? But God is declaring, I'm here, I'm moving, I'm doing. Now, there used to be an old phrase that says, God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. How many know that's not fully true? Take out the middle phrase. God says it, and that settles it. God says it, that settles it. And so God is saying something to these precious people of His. He sees. Number one, I discern the true need. God hears the cry. He attentively considers. God knows their sorrows, it says in this verse. He intimately understands their anguish. Number four, God comes down to deliver them. He descends to us to snatch us away from the grief. Anybody in this room ever felt grief? There comes a time when you wake up as you continue to walk with God that He delivers you from that grief and you'll see Him face to face. God hears you, sees you, comes down and snatches us away from the grief. And then fifthly, God brings us up to Himself and His purposes. How many like the up part after being down?
Yes.
We like the up part. He is the I Am in the midst of the storm with you. This is, I just can't explain it enough. I'm trying, but the point is, this is a brand new revelation of God. Moses had a brand new revelation of God. Had God spoken to Jacob? Had He spoken to the patriarchs? Yeah, sure. But now He's saying something completely new. This is the first time an entire nation of people, a multitude of people, needed redemption, needed deliverance, needed to be delivered from their taskmasters. And God is saying, you are not alone. I am with you. Not the past, not the future. I'm there too. But I'm with you and you're right now. Now, let's talk just a little bit about the name of God. Hang in here with me for just a little theology, will you? I am who I am. Now, I am, and in your Bible, the capital, L-O-R-D. You'll find it in your Bibles, your King James, your New King James, your NIVs. You'll find capital L-O-R-D as distinguished from other places where Lord, Kyrios, or Master is L, capital L, and then small O-R-D. But capital L-O-R-D, I am and Lord, are derived from the same Hebrew word, what is it? To be. God is the self-existent one or the one ever-present. I am that I am. I exist. I'm here. I'm right here, right now. Listen, guys, this is huge. This is you try to tell this around some places of the earth, and they're worshiping some god who's distant or maybe a stone or a statue. They have no understanding of this whole concept. What do you mean God is and He's right here with you right now? You can talk to God and He'll talk to you? Anybody in this room ever hear anything from God? Yeah. What a fantastic God. Now, this is over 6,000 times in the Bible you read the word Lord. Some texts are Jehovah. You can lift it up. Thank you, Pat. Jehovah. Some read Yahweh, the Jerusalem Bible. Now, in the Hebrew Bibles, they may mostly use the Y to begin the letters. The Latin carried down with J in the beginning of our letters. So, what we call Jehovah is Yehovah in the Hebrew, with a Y sound in the beginning of it. We go on. The Ten Commandments forbade taking His name in vain. So that's why devout Hebrews wouldn't even speak the name Yahweh. And devout Hebrews today, you'll find there's difficulty if they're really devout followers. And that's basically a tradition because they don't want to violate or come anywhere close to violating taking His name in vain. The Hebrew, when you read or when they read Lord, they read Adonai. As we go on, four letters. Can you say the word tetragrammaton? Sounds like Transformers or something like that, doesn't it? You know, it's geometry for tetragrammaton. All right, and that's, you've heard of this before, or if you haven't, a little theology, okay? The YHVH or the JHVH is, as we've come to know it, spelled out God's sacred name, His revealed covenant name by which He was known. Now watch this. Ancient Hebrew text usually were consonants only. They didn't have vowels. And so as that ancient language began to fall away from being in use, they began to put a point system or points and little digits over the consonants so it would guide them as to how to pronounce those names little later or much later in decades that came after this. Is there anything else there, Pat? Okay. Scholars put the vowels from Adonai into the sacred tetragrammaton, into the sacred four-letter name, so that the people would know how to pronounce Adonai in synagogue services. So they didn't feel they could say the name Yahweh, so they said the name Adonai, but it was this tetragrammaton, J-H-V-H. Are you all with me? All right. So they put the vowels of Adonai. Now you say, Pastor Kev, wait a minute. Adonai starts with an A. That's right. They changed that vowel. I'm just telling you, historically, they changed that vowel to guide them in their pronunciation. So you see J-E-H-O-V-A-H. And it's pronounced Yehovah. And we say Jehovah. It's a hybrid name, combining the vowels with the tetragrammaton. That's where Jehovah comes from. Adonai Yehovah, or Yahweh. And so in the scriptures, if you go to Strong's Talking Concordance or different things that will give you the pronunciations, if you click on those words to hear the pronunciation of the YHVH or Lord, it is mostly in 6,000 times, Adonai Yehovah. All right? So their affection, their Lord, God gave them a name by which they could call him. So that gives you some history of what you read in your Bible. But the most important thing is God gave them his name because he wanted them to be personal with him, intimate with him. The God who is with you. I am with you right now. There's the bottom line. Turn to each other one more time and say, God is with you right now. Fantastic revelation. Right here, right now. It's not just the past, it's not just the future, but how many like to be called by your name rather than, hey, you? How many in this room like your name? Okay. Anybody not like your name? Okay, a few of you. Yeah, my real dad, he had quite a handle. I don't think he ever liked his name. So, my real dad's name was Rufus Orley. He changed it, which you can understand, to Orley Rufus. And I think that's far better. And then he lovingly passed his middle name, or Orley, onto me. 35 years in Pullman, Washington, nobody ever knew my middle name except those guys sitting right over there. People would come in over the years, what's your middle name? Oscar? Oliver? Nope, none of those. Couldn't stand my middle name. But I do like my name, Kevin. And I'd rather you call me by my name than, hey, you jerk. So too, God says, I've got a name. And instead of being this God far away, I want you to know I'm right here with you. Call me by my name. And isn't it interesting? Tradition took them away from even speaking his name. Put distance between them and God when the whole revelation was, I'm right here with you. How many are glad God is with you? Yes. Now, we come over to the New Testament, and though it's not an exact way in, God also tells us a name to tell us he's right here with us. How many remember the New Testament name? What does it say? Real loud, please. Emmanuel, God with us. The same God revealed through Jesus now, saying, here I am in the Old Testament. I'm with you. Can you get this? I'm with you face to face. I'm the God who is delivering you out of this. I hear your groans. I hear your cries. I am that I am. I'm here right now. You come to the New Testament and he says, I'm going to give you a whole new name by which to know me. Here we go again, and I want you to use my name, and I want you to be with me. My name is Emmanuel. Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua. What a great God. He loves to hear His name. So the object, old and new, I'm with you. Now Moses objects. How many remember? Moses objected. How many remember why he didn't feel he could be used? Says it really clearly in the Message version, doesn't it? I'm sorry, Lord. Use somebody else because I stutter. Stutter. Use somebody else, Lord. I'm not good enough. Use somebody else, Lord. I've got a problem. At least four times Moses tells God he can't do it. Watch this, Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" How many of you know it isn't "who am I"? The issue is it's "I am." It ain't "who am I," it's "I am" is the one who's doing it. Exodus 4:10 through 14, out of the Message, Moses raised another objection to God. "Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and stammer." God said, "And who do you think made the human mouth? Who makes some mute, some deaf, some sighted, some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. I'll be right here with you, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say." It's so vivid out of the Message. And he said, "Oh, Master, please," the third time, "please send somebody else." God got angry with Moses. "Don't you have a brother, Aaron the Levite? He's good with words. I know he is. He speaks very well. In fact, at this very moment, he's on his way to meet you. And when he sees you, he's going to be glad." Then Exodus 6, verse 30, Moses answered, "Look at me. I stutter. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? I can't do it. I can't cut it. I'm ashamed. I failed. I can't speak well. There's any number of reasons why I can't." There's any number of reasons why you could say this morning, "I can't." But God answers, "I am." "I can't." But God says, "I am." Let Him be your "I am." Then Moses did go. God used him mightily. The world watched God unfold His present tense dealings. Protection for Israel, judgment to the enemy that would destroy the Hebrew children. And from this point on, even though they frustrated Him and there were times of dealings and judgment, God was "I am." He's present with you and with me this morning. The "I am" of our daily life. The "I am" who covers our shame and washes us clean. The New Testament Emmanuel, our Jesus, who saves, who's here with us. How many love the "I am"? What's in a name? In this case, everything. I'm right here with you. I am. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You that there is the precious name of Jesus, Emmanuel, "I am that I am." Lord, we thank You that You are the God who is with us in the present right now, the God we love because You first loved us. Now bless and strengthen Your people. And Lord Jesus, You know the needs that are present in those in this room this day. Touch every heart and spirit with the reality that Jesus is our God right here. We're so grateful, Lord, and all the people said,